Praise the Lord, everyone. You may be seated.
Did you want to make that announcement?
This announcement. I'd like to remind all of you that we have another one of our Praise in the Park next Sunday. Is that instead of a service, John?
Sorry.
Is that Praise in the Park instead of a service?
Yeah, it's at 5:30 in the Soldatna Creek Park.
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock in the park. If it's just half as good as it was the last time, it ought to be really good. I won't keep you very long tonight. We have a dinner that we're going to celebrate all of our Father's Day fathers. So it's just a short message that I have for you. There is very few things that are more pleasing to God than for His people to be holy in all things, to be holy in His image, to be holy in their life and everything they do, every word they speak, every thought they think, every action that they make. We should let the Holy Spirit always lead and guide us in everything that we do, everything that we hope to accomplish. And tonight, we're celebrating our godly fathers. We had our godly mother celebration here just a few weeks ago. And this one is to bring honor to our godly men. Something that is very, very pleasing to God. A Christian husband is expected to be willing to give everything in his life, including his lifeblood if necessary, for the benefit and the welfare of his family, his wife and his children, if he has them. And God's plan is that the husband and the wife become one. His word even tells us that. That when they're married, they become one flesh. They live together, they think together, they love together, they plan together, they normally raise children in a family together, always looking out for each other and preferring one another to the other. God's plan is, was always and is always, for the husband and the wife to become one, so that what the husband has belongs to the wife, and what the wife has belongs to the husband, what the husband has belongs to the wife. Each and every one. The two make up their entire life together, and they share in everything that they have to be a truly happy, glorious wedding and marriage and raising a family is being two people that can live together and share in everything, their hopes, their dreams, their possessions, their thoughts, or everything. They just become one flesh together, so that everything that they have belongs to each other, and there should be no dissension, no thoughtlessness, no caring for anything other than what they can do to please each other. There's never any selfishness in real love. We don't think of ourselves. We usually always and should think of the other one. Their health, their happiness, their welfare, whatever it is that would make their life more enjoyable, should be the goal of every spouse, husband and wife. What can I do to make this one that I cherish more happy? What can I do to bring more happiness into her or his life? There's no selfishness in real love. There is, as God tells us, only giving. Giving of yourself, of your possessions, of your hopes, of your dreams. everything that you do and everything that you have, do you want totally to share it with the other one? And sadly, it doesn't always work out that way, but it's the way God had planned it from the very beginning. That when he said that they shall become one flesh, they think together, they love together, they feel together, they want to do things together. I always wondered what it would have been like, when I was a young man to be able to be married to someone who I could truly, truly love. And a woman that would be married to me that really loved me. And I didn't ever expect to have anything like that because I had never really witnessed anything like that. I wasn't exposed that much to the worldly upbringing, you might say. I was pretty much alone most of my young life. And my mother and dad were fairly decent to us. They provided the things that we needed, but the house didn't have the joy and the love and the concern for the other one that I thought that it should have. Even as a child, I felt something was missing. And sadly, from the time that God put man and woman together to become one flesh, to be able to share everything in their life together, there is no joy outside of his spirit that is greater than two, man and woman, who truly love one another. Truly love one another. The relationship based on this true love is described in Corinthians of what love is really like. God reflects this love in everything that he does for and to us. He looks out for our very best interest. He wants the very best for us. He wants us to be truly happy and at peace with one another, to really experience what he wanted for man and woman to be from the time he put them in the garden. A true relationship, a true coming together as one, thinking solely of the other's happiness. What can I do to make her more happy? Or what can I do to make him more happy? Thinking only of their own enjoyment, their happiness, and their welfare. This relationship that is based upon this true love explained in Corinthians. That God is reflecting of the love of himself and what Jesus Christ did at Calvary for us. We sometimes try to imagine what it must have been like for him to endure what he did, even in his imagination, thinking of what was waiting for him and knowing what was going to happen to him. And he did that because of his love for us. And if we could, in some small way, be able to relate that back to a husband and a wife, what a marriage you would have. What a marriage we would have. A relationship based upon God's true love, reflecting that love that he gave his life for at Calvary. The husband promotes her spiritual well-being as well as being a fellow heir to the eternal life. He doesn't ask what he can get from her, but he asks what can he do for her. And it comes back to him in the same manner. She asks, what can I do for him, rather than what can he do for me? He promotes her spiritually as well as being a fellow heir of eternal life. He doesn't ask what he can get from her, but he thinks, what can I do for her? Or vice versa. He promotes her spiritual well-being as a fellow heir of eternal life. Turn to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. I Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. That says a lot. Love your wives as Christ loves his church. And he gave himself for it. A spiritual example. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought also men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband as herself. Such a simple thought and idea that the Lord had when he put Adam and Eve in that garden together, to be able to share their lives together of what really enjoying and seeing the beauty of the things that God created. When you're able to share not only the things that God created, but your lives together as husband and wife, truly in love with one another, seeking what you can do to please the other, not seeking what they can do to please you, but what you can do to please them. If we base our married life upon this preeminence, this desire, this willingness to go to any lengths to express our deep love and affection that we must and should have for our spouse, think what a beautiful, beautiful marriage that would be. Ephesians 5 describes how a loving Christian husband is the instrument of Christ's love for his wife and at the same time a model of Christian and Christ's love for his church. What an honor and a responsibility that places upon him and her. Only by submitting to the living strength of Jesus Christ can a man fulfill such a challenge as this. And why he must rely on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to lead and guide his every actions, his every thought, his every word, his every thought in his relationship toward his wife. And let us not leave out the spouses and the things that is so very precious to them that come from this union. It's their children. Children. How much a child looks forward to seeing his father when he comes in from work in the afternoon, or meeting him when he's graduating from high school, or taking him on a fishing or a hunting trip of some type. How he rejoices in being able to share time with his father and with his mother. When they will listen to what he has to say, what he wants to tell them. Sometimes it may seem a very foolish or strange thing that they want to talk about. But sometimes and usually when a child wants to talk to his father and mother, it's usually very important for them. So we must be willing always to listen to our child and hear what they have to say. try to draw conclusions from it that will make them feel better from having brought it to your attention and what they might be able to learn from it from you. What an honor and responsibility that will be. And only by submitting the living strength of Jesus Christ can a man fulfill such a challenge as this. He must rely on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, not only in being able to raise a family and have the marriage that he and his wife both want, to be able to spend hours, days, weeks, years together in a life that most people only dream about or think about, but very few have the privilege of being able to experience. And you can only experience this through the indwelling of the Spirit and walking in that Spirit. It is such an honor to be able to shed the love that you have for your wife or for your husband when you are walking close to God and sharing what he has given you for each other. What a treasure that is meant to be. And what an honor and a responsibility that it is also. Many times a Christian husband is also a father. And one of the greatest blessings that can come from a marriage is children. Sometimes we, as parents, may not really think about that too much because there's a lot of trouble, a lot of heartbreak, a lot of worry, a lot of concern, a lot of fear, and a great amount of love and adoration that comes from being parents to your children, a good parent to your children. Many times a Christian husband is also that father that plays a role for his children in the way they grow up. A child must know that he can discuss anything with his mother or with her mother or his father, or vice versa, knowing that they will get a honest, sincere, caring answer that will give them the hope or the answer that they're wanting to make their life more enjoyable, and placing more and more faith in their parents as such. The roles of a husband and a father are interwoven. God created man and woman for a number of purposes. One is to give the joy and excitement of the race and the populating of this earth. But generations upon generations of people that bear God's name and reflect his image. The Christian family is the heart of God's plan for mankind on this earth, wanting, like we say, a family of his own that would love him above all things, that would be able to share that love between a man and a woman as he intended for it to be. What it would have turned out like, we will only know when we step to the other side of that holy gate, or if we are so blessed with a loving and caring husband and wife in this life, the way God intended for his creation to be able to enjoy. The true love of a man and a woman sharing the joy of a family together. The Christian family is the heart of God's plan for this mankind. A husband and a father is the head of the family, just as a Christian husband cannot love and lead his wife apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. He cannot love and raise his children in the admonition of the Lord apart from the power of the Holy Ghost. Husband and father bear a profound responsibility and a privilege. When they seek after God and follow his lead, they serve the family as well and bring honor to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. A good Christian father makes time for his family and anchors his family in church and in Christ. There's so many times that parents, fathers and mothers alike, will send their children to church, but seldom go with them or take them themselves. It happens hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of times all over this world. A Christian husband cannot love and lead his wife apart from the power of the Holy Spirit, and he cannot love and raise his children in the admonition of the Lord apart from the power of the Holy Ghost. So, husband and fathers bear a profound responsibility and a privilege when they seek after God and follow his lead. They serve the family well by bringing honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ, by leading your family as head of the family in their relationship to Christ. A good Christian father makes time for his family and anchors his family in Jesus Christ. He provides the needs of his family, and no other teacher can affect a child as much as their parents. And for this reason, it's important that a father teach his child the things that he needs to know about Jesus Christ and about what God's plan is for him in his life. By both their example and words, a Christian father not only meets the physical needs of his family, but the emotional needs as well. He turns to him for all areas of need, and he provides as best as he possibly can. No matter how frustrating he becomes, or at times how angry he might feel, he always constantly expresses his love and concern for the welfare of his children and his wife. This includes advice, correction, education, and chastisement when needed. In addition, he recognizes that discipline is way more effective when a father praises and comments on his children and their progress regularly. This will cause a child to have more confidence not only in himself, but in his parents also. And they know that when they're acknowledged and appreciated, that their childhood becomes much more memorable in the latter years. A father has a great deal, both husband and father, in raising the family, not just being a breadwinner, but in the actual raising of not only the children, but the raising of the marriage into the stature and place that God would have it to be, the way he wanted and intended for it to be in the garden. It's one that can be, and it's his sincere desire that it will be. And I know that every single one of us, every one of us, wants that committed love and appreciation, concern, dedication, and heartfelt dreams for the rest of your married life together. We all want a perfect marriage, a perfect family, a perfect raising the way that God intended for husbands, fathers, and family to live. And it is only possible in living for God, totally 100% committed to him and what his desire for us is in our life. I am very, very pleased. That's not even a good word, really, pleased. It goes so far beyond that. I'm honored, really, saints, honored to know fathers and husbands such as you and wives such as you. I know that some have family problems. I know that we don't all get along as well as we want to do. We don't always get the things that we really want, always. But we also know that as long as we stay close to God and do everything in our power to please Him in every action we make, these hopes and these desires and these wishes are not unattainable. This is what God wants for every single one of us. And it is right within our grasp every single day. So if you'll stand with me, I'd like for us to not only pray for our meal here tonight, but that this day will give us more than just a meeting again of our fathers and our mothers and our family, but to make a new dedication, a total consecration to be even more of what God wants us all to be in this closing days of time that is coming up on us so very quickly. To do everything in our power as individuals, not necessarily looking for somebody else to fix it or to make it do or work out the problems, but in our own self, doing everything that we can as an individual, making sure that everything we do and say is exactly what God would have us do and say, always. So let's all join together here tonight and ask God to bless this Father's Day.